Welcome to Prague, We'll Find a Way, our podcast all about progressive rock. My name is Jay Valade.
And I'm Jonathan Block.
Today we're going to do a news episode. It is late October.
Late October. I think this will be beginning of November, though. So we'll call this our November edition.
Sure.
And so where do you want to start? You want to start happy or sad?
Well, let's just get it out of the way.
Okay.
R.I.P. John Lodge of the Moody Blues. He passed away a couple weeks ago.
They say unexpectedly.
Unexpectedly, yeah. Yes. He was quite a force in the Moody Blues. Bass player, singer, songwriter. He and Justin Hayward kind of took the reins and were the leaders of that band for quite some time. John and I were lucky enough to see him. I saw him twice, but John and I went on his last tour, and were lucky enough to interview John Davison,
right,
who is his son-in-law, also the lead singer of Yes, on a previous episode, which you guys who are watching and listening can look up.
Go check it out.
At that time, when we saw him, he had just recovered from a stroke.
Right.
He kind of said jokingly that, sorry, I had to reschedule these dates, but you know, I got the Christmas present no one wants, which is a stroke on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So, but he was in good spirits and put on quite a show.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And he was planning on touring this December, I believe. Right. So I don't think this was a prolonged illness, but I don't know anything.
Yeah, and so obviously condolences to his family.
Absolutely.
And John, that leaves Justin Hayward.
Yeah.
Essentially. I mean, all the original members are gone. The original, original before those who, well, we went to the history of the Moody Blues. So they started, and then John Lodge and Justin Hayward joined after Denny Lane left. The go now.
Who Denny Lane is
Denny
also
Lane has passed. Right. But
and I think I've mentioned this before, but I saw them get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Right. And I'm glad that happened while at least a few of them are still alive.
I think
four of them, right? Mike Pinder was there, Graham Edge.
I think everybody was Ray Thomas.
Right. Everybody at that point, Ray Thomas had passed. So,
So they did get in while they were still
That's good.
With us.
Well, and let's not discount John's solo career as well. He did have a full solo career. His first, Moody Blues put out solo albums around the same period, kind of taking a little break. So Natural Avenue was John's. Has some really good songs on it. But quickly after that, he and Justin Hayward got together and did the Blue Jays.
Which is kind of, I always found an interesting situation.
Yeah.
Because they were the driving force of the Moody Blues, and then they did this album without the other three guys or four.
Right. I mean, the way I've always looked at it is like at that period of their lives, they were just so creative that they had a million songs, you know. And then the and particularly somebody like Justin Hayward, I know, writes a lot. And at the end of the day, they were still a pretty strong band on an individual basis. So Justin Hayward was not going to get 10 songs on an album, nor was John Lodge. You know, everybody got three songs. Some people might have gotten four.
But I think they were also in this kind of hiatus with the Moody Blues.
Well, they
when
Octave
came
the
out,
first,
well, right, so they wasn't did that the, like a reunion? Like,
yeah, because they did, you know, Seventh Sojourn, and then that was 72, and then that was it. And that's it's funny, you know, Prague ascends, and this goes back to talking about how they were part of the beginning of it, and then they're like, yeah, we're getting off for now.
Anyway, condolences. He was a big force in the Prague world.
Obviously we're kind of going down this avenue talking about Moody Blues again. We could just keep going on and on. So
so other news.
Other news, we've got
some releases.
We do. Well, actually, before we get into we should have talked about this the last time, but we forgot. You saw John, Stephen Wilson recently. Capitol Theater in Portchester.
It was the overview tour. So it was, if for those of you who don't know, that is his most recent album. It is a typical Prague album where if it was on vinyl, which I think you can get it on vinyl, side one is one song, side two is another song. So he performed that in its entirety for the first half of the show.
Okay.
With his band. And it was excellent. Graphics were fantastic. The whole thing, the full light show, everything was quite engaging. So then at the end of his the first half, before they take a break, he said, "I'm feeling under the weather. The band is feeling under the weather. And so my voice is not what it normally is. So the second half is going to be a primarily instrumental situation." So I went with my wife, and she kind of turned to me and she goes, "Oh, yay." So they come out and they play a whole bunch of songs.
Yeah, it's Rock Odyssey. Yeah.
Well, I think it was just they took more of the songs from that they have been touring, and okay, they just cut out some of the more challenging vocal ones for him. He still sang in the set.
Right. So I guess that would be my question. Was it just a similar set list, but no singing, or were they bringing songs in that then they would not have done at other shows?
I think over the course of the tour that they've been doing, they've been switching out songs.
So they had
that they had relied more heavily on the songs that were instrumental songs.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, and towards the end of the set, he said, you know, "It's kind of funny. For those of you who don't know me very well and have been dragged by your significant other or a date, I do like writing pop songs and songs that you can sing to and have a hook. But that's just not what you got tonight. So for your prog heads out there, you are having a great time. And for the other people, not so much." So it was kind of funny. He certainly knows his audience. Right. He certainly knows what's going on. And he was, you know, "Sorry, but better than canceling. I'd rather just sit up here and play." So
you
still
it?
Get a show. Oh yeah, it was really good. Mare was not as enthused.
Okay.
She's seen him before.
Right.
With Porcupine Tree and things. Yep. So I think that she enjoyed those shows more.
Yeah.
Just because she knew the material.
Right.
Because even when I was playing some of the material they were playing from his solo career, it was relying heavily on some of the more, the longer pieces and the less accessible stuff.
Right.
Which is fine for me. But, you know, she's during the show, she's like, "Oh, a song I know." 2 hours in.
Wow.
So
excellent.
But nice. Everybody had a great time who Good. Was... the diehards.
The diehard fans. Yes. Good.
So I would see him again. And each time he does play different things. So
right. Because he's touring for a new album.
Yeah.
Usually, right? He hasn't just come around.
But I hadn't seen him in a while. So he did rely a lot on some of the stuff from his last album, The Harmony Codex.
Right.
Which I liked as well. So
okay.
It was good.
Great. All right, some new releases. The King Crimson 50th Anniversary Atmos Mix Catalog continues, and the Wake of Poseidon and
Lizard
were both released. Two disc sets. Most of the sessions. You know, you get a little bit of everything.
So I'm on
and
the
elemental
fence.
Elemental mixes.
I'm on the fence about these just because I did buy them. And I, you know, you look back in time and that was what, 2015. So it has been 10 years.
It has been.
The number of times I've pulled them out to listen to them is.
Well, that's kind of where I mean, there's two reasons why you'd want these beyond because you would buy everything. You want the Atmos mix. Maybe you're real interested in the elemental mixes and or you want all the session stuff, which is interesting. The session stuff had been available via the site anyway, so I'd already gotten the things that I wanted. But the streaming wise, they're not available. You can get the Lizard Elemental. This is the first time that David Singleton has done a full album.
Oh, okay.
So he does the whole Lizard album. It's interesting. It's just like a different alternate, but extremely alternate. There's parts that didn't make it in. Like,
Noticed that it was available today. So
yeah, there's a lot of Mel Collins playing saxophone on things that it didn't end up making it or was turned down so low.
Yeah.
There's no drums really on the first side, so he relies more on the other instruments.
Okay.
It's interesting for me. I've listened to all of them that have been available. Obviously, I've talked about Starless a lot. That's in a class by itself. But beyond that, I listen to him maybe once or twice, and I'm not really compelled to listen to him again.
You'd rather just listen to
him. Well, yeah, because it's not really it's a radical. This is the most radical because he's bringing instruments up to the fore, which is kind of cool. So, for instance, the song that Prince Rupert Awakes with John Anderson is essentially, for a lot of it, just the piano and John Anderson. That's okay. It. So you do get these alternate.
So I'm going to like it.
So you're going to. Well, but not as much as what I gave you when I got the Islands box set, which is John a cappella. Just John. And then you realize how many times they actually overdubbed his voice. But it's definitely interesting to listen to, but wouldn't compel me. Wake, if you've watched any of our episodes, I mean, that's one of my top Crimson albums. So I keep an eye on it. If it goes cheap enough on Amazon, I'll probably get it. But I saw pictures of the book too. The pictures are all like, you're not getting a lot of new information. Again, it's for people that maybe never bought the others, right?
Right.
And you get everything in one package. I'm pretty sure you probably get a vinyl needle drop. You certainly get the 30th anniversary, which are kind of considered the official.
It's kind remix. Of funny.
So it's got everything in one place.
It's kind of funny though, when I skip an edition of these re-releases, I'm always going to end up missing something because I always leave something off the newest one.
Right.
Somehow.
Well, you get a lot of the sessions on the new one. Yeah. So you know what? We're to the 60th soon, right? So maybe we'll live long enough for the 75th. I'm waiting to hear what that's about. So, but speaking of new releases, so I did not know this was coming, but all of a sudden I see Rick Wakeman has a.
Yes. It's what's a up? Piano album.
Melancholia.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a real, we were listening to in the car the other day.
Did it come, like, is it a
it's double? Digital.
Okay.
I don't know about the physical product.
Yeah, I thought it was
album. I just put it on, and it's pretty low key and almost minimalist in some of the playing, but we were listening to it and my wife, because we're listening in the car, so she goes, this has kind of a Severance vibe to it. Which, if you've listened to the Severance soundtrack or watched the show, it's kind of this kind of mellow keyboard sort of thing.
But this is it's not atypical for Rick. I mean, there was that period where he was putting out a lot of material, right?
Yes.
Was it the 2000? There was like every other day it looked like a Rick Wake, and he was doing a lot of piano stuff at that point.
The piano stuff that I really liked, and this goes way back to the late 80s, was the 80s, early 90s, was the what was it called? It was on that New Age record label, and it was just the white cover with the forest.
Right. And, yeah.
And those were my favorites.
We have the internet right at our fingertips.
Yeah. It was like Sears.
Sears, yeah. and it was a series.
The series, yeah. Night Airs, yes. And the first yes. one, Morning yes. Airs, or whatever.
Yeah.
Those were my favorites.
Like four of them? Four.
I think there were three.
Okay.
But, so when he does some of these other ones, I'm less compelled because those are the ones I like.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But he's still a vital force.
Yes.
So this is a little slightly more esoteric on new releases.
Oh, speaking of touring, Adam Wakeman, I think, is going out on touring the From a Page album.
Yes. Yes. And I remember I saw a post from him the other day where he's like shocked. He's like, well, thank you. Yes, they put it on the official webpage. he seemed a little surprised, but very appreciative. That was funny.
You know, and I think
that's part of the yes canon.
It is part of the yes canon, and nobody's ever going to play that stuff live.
Right. Yes.
So you might as well just do it.
Featuring Steve Hackett isn't. I mean, Steve Howe.
Yeah, they're not going to do it. It was not John Davison singing. I don't believe it was.
No, it was Ben. Yeah.
Who knows?
Anyways, good call though. So apparently, when they were putting together Mike Oldfield's 50th anniversary of Harrogate's Ridge, they found a tape. I guess it's an audience tape, but it's still pretty good sound of the orchestral live show. It was done for the BBC. The orchestral Harrogate's Ridge with Steve Hillage taking the place of the Mike Oldfield on guitar.
Okay.
David Bedford thing. It was a David Bedford thing. So I guess it's out.
So Mike is not on it.
Mike is not on it. When I was looking at the promo, it was like, you know, the notoriously reclusive Mike Oldfield.
Because I keep seeing advertisements in like Prog magazine for like for Tubular Bells Live, best of 1, 2, and 3, and I'm like, oh, he's touring. No, he's not. He's not involved.
Well, it was on. I saw something on maybe a year or 2 years of a live show, and I kept. I'm like, Mike Oldfield's not there, and then I'm like, I don't recognize anybody. I don't know who any of these.
Well, it's like performing a piece of classical music.
Well, it is, right? And so, you know, it's different. It's the same. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right.
But speaking of that, I never got the Hergis Ridge.
You didn't.
50th, whatever, whatever.
I like that album a lot, and the Atmos mix is available on Apple Music, so I've listened to it, and it sounds good. And it's like, you know, so the Atmos mix, the box, which is the quad mix, and something else, and something else.
Okay.
It's the, you know, it's the usual.
Yeah, but now Super Deluxe Edition had like an Atmos Blu-ray that you could get, but it sold out. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That I would, because they do have a vinyl or whatever.
Yeah, I don't. I
don't know that it's up my alley until.
Right.
I don't think it got released over here, and so it's an import, and it's expensive.
I haven't heard anything about the next one, right? Omadhon, when would that be?
Well, he did the Return to Omadhon, which was his last album, basically, right?
Right,
so I don't know if they're going to still do the same thing, but they might.
They should. What year did that come out?
Right, I don't know, 74?
I'm not sure exactly. No.
Right?
No. It's a 5 or 6, right? Because it was Tubular Bells was 73.
Incantations
was after.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I think
it was probably in there.
Anyways, okay, so we got that to look forward to. You know, I like these minor prog bands from England in the early 70s that no one else seems to ever heard of. One of them, Gracious, I know people have heard of them. They were a really, really good prog band. Only did a couple of albums, but, you know, they toured with the Crimson and stuff, so they were... A lot of on the Vertigo or Darum label in the early 70s, these prog bands. So they just have a box set with all their stuff. It's, you know,
cool.
So it's good. And let's get into, we don't talk a lot about books, but let's talk about books because we got a couple of books coming out, and then Jay's got some cool stuff here too. So Derek Shulman, obviously the lead singer from Gentle Giant, and who also had a very illustrious career in the music business,
yes,
put out an autobiography in the latest prog, or maybe it's the last, I don't know. I get them digitally, so they come early. There's a very cool interview in there with him, and he's just such a funny guy, cool guy.
He is a cool guy,
and he comes on podcasts too. And
because
Derek, maybe we should. No, seriously, I'll reach out. I mean, why not?
I heard him on the Rock on Tours.
Yeah,
that was a great interview.
Yeah, but it's a great book because you don't just get the prog and the Gentle Giant thing. Then he had, I mean, people.
Yeah.
So he discovered and signed Bon Jovi, Pantera.
That's what they talk about in this.
There's like Slipknot. I mean, there's like 5 or 6 huge. Did he sign Guns N' Roses? I mean,
I don't know,
but he signed like 5 or 6 huge, huge bands. And it's so funny to see pictures. Like the first big thing he ever did, I think, was Bon Jovi. But somehow he ended up. So this is how these things work, right? He was friendly with people. They were on Chrysalis with Tool.
Yeah.
And he was friendly with different people. And so Gentle Giant ends. And someone at Chrysalis says, hey, you want a job doing promo or something? And he's like, you know, it's like you're touring the world and now I'm a promo guy. Anyways, he's like, I'll do it. And he ends up being good at it and he quickly rises up.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the president of ATCO.
Yeah.
So, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, like you can attest to too, he's a great interviewer. I'm sure the book is great, so I'm definitely going to check it out.
All right.
And then second book is there's actually a Peter Hamill biography coming out. It's unauthorized. I find this hilarious. It's unauthorized because Peter would not be interviewed. However, he said that he's not going to stand in the way of him talking to any collaborators, and he's happy to fact check.
I'll fact check your thing.
but
I'm,
can't,
you can't, I'm not can't, talking
yeah I'm
to
not
you.
Talking to you, so
send
that's
me the stuff and then I'll redline it.
Yeah, I think it's called Rock and Roll, R-O-L-E. That's one of his solo songs, and his box set is out too, so but let's move in because there was a series of we have Show and Tell, but it's not the $500 Yes album Reel to Reel that you can get on Rhino. Get in quick, there's only 500 versions. I did that just blows me away. I'm waiting for the 8-track, so.
Oh, you are.
I'm waiting for the 8-track. But anyways, on the bookend,
I got a, I don't know whether it was was Instagram or something, Yes put out a little thing that the Gottlieb brothers, who do all of their kind of graphic print material when they're going out on tour, put out three books called of Yes Stuff, volume 1, 2, and 3. And I thought I'd take a chance and get volume 1, which is all about tour books and concert programs. Volume 2 is concert posters, and volume 3 is picture sleeves of singles. So I got the first one. Little history here. I met the Gottlieb brothers years and years and years ago at record shows and at Yes things, and they started Yes magazine.
Okay.
They probably don't remember me, but I would see them all the time. And
were they the ones? So this is really getting esoteric. So yeah. I went to, with our mutual friend Lisa, and I think it was 84, to the first Yes conference. And I think it was in New Jersey or Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And there were no Yes people there, although somehow they videoed in Steve Howe. I remember that. And it was huge. It was big. And I think they may have put that on.
Oh, they might have. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know, but they...
I think, who broke them in the States? Like,
Ed Shockey or...
Yeah, he was like, it was bizarre. It was like a fan... It was bizarre. Anyways.
So I would see them...
If anyone knows anything about that or remembers it, please let us know, because my memory's kind of hazy.
I would see them all the time and like go up and talk to them.
So what were they? What did they do?
They're just two brothers who were Yes fans. They started Yes magazine. Right. They started as a fan thing.
So it's not like Claire brothers. Like they were...
Oh, no. They were just fans who started like the magazine. And then the Yes magazine came out and it was glossy. It was really good.
And you got
graphic.
That?
Oh, I would. I was subscribed.
Do you have any right here? You didn't.
Oh, I have them. They're downstairs in the basement, but I could get some. So they were both.
Next time we talked about Yes, which would be about.
They're both very nice guys. I like I said, they probably don't even remember me going up and talking to them. But
if you do or you don't, and somehow you're watching this because you've done a search on Gottlieb Brothers, seeing if people are talking. We're talking about your book.
So
hook Jay up.
So then what they did from that was they started doing like Steve Howe's tour program. And then they would do the graphics for like some of the Yes records.
Oh, okay. So they're getting in there.
With Roger Dean, they would do, you know, the typeface and they would... the pictures and then as their tour books got better and better, they started to get thicker and thicker, and they were filled with all this memorabilia and stories and interviews. And it was like Yes fans, these guys doing the stuff for Yes that Yes fans want.
Right. Finally.
Right.
Yes.
Cause you get the big generator tour book, and it's like a picture of each member, and that's it. It's like, no, I want something
more.
Something to bite into. So what they did was they took all the tour books that Yes has done over the course of their career, and they put a whole book together. And it is full color. It's every tour book that has ever happened. They go through the history of each one.
Oh, wow.
They talk about everything. They talk about the ones that they worked on.
And this is worldwide. This is not just...
Oh, worldwide. Yeah, the Japanese tour book, and what the difference
I saw the European.
The difference between the Japanese book says the size, the number of pages. It's very good. So I was joking with John when I ordered it. I said, well, now maybe I can get rid of all my old programs. And the truth is you can't,
because
they just give you like a two pager.
You don't get the whole one. Right, you don't get the whole thing.
You don't get the whole thing. So it's a
more of a compendium of
It is not a reproduction of every one. But because
you have...
I have the Tales from Topograph Goshen's one. I have the
at least the front.
So I have the US Tales one. I have,
you know what, we're going to do a future episode where we're just talking about these.
Okay.
So
Relayer.
Yeah, no,
again.
Keep going. Relayer?
Going for the one.
Oh yeah. People want to see this. And if you don't, well, I want to see it. So
Tormato.
Wow.
The In the Round 79 tour. Drama.
Oh, I was at the Drama. Uh-oh,
the drama.
They're on order now. I'll keep
it off to the side. Yeah, thanks, John. 90125. Big generator.
Wow.
I have a Steve Howe, not necessarily acoustic.
Oh, yeah.
Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, Howe. I mean, these are all in order.
Right. Okay.
Union.
Union. Okay. Wow. Okay. Now some of these you purchased at shows. Others, obviously, you were not.
Obviously,
at the relay. You were not at Tales from Topographic.
The one, everything from 90125 forward.
Are your personal purchases?
The ones prior to that, I got via either friends or.
And none of your siblings have been sufficiently into Yes, where you can be the Vallade siblings writing books.
Correct.
Okay.
You and I.
Yeah, I know.
Open your eyes.
Wow. The ladder?
The ladder. But like the ladder is when they started to get.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Doing some fun things. Yeah. I mean, this was like the history of the tour books and stuff like that, which I think is, you know, it's the seed that started the idea to do this full book. So, you know, they still have the scrapbook kind of pictures
Who
of each member. Billy Sherwood.
Okay.
So, but they also. The Masterworks tour. This one was a great one because it did go like a timeline, and then they talk about each individual
era. Oh wow!
Each person and their own timeline.
Wow!
So I thought this was that was a great one. Symphonic Yes tour, which is Glow in the Dark.
We'll show that on the tour book episode.
I don't know which one. This one. This is when
Keys to Ascension. No,
no. The
I know
the In a Word live and
oh okay,
35th anniversary, and then I have a couple. Yeah, John Anderson tour of the 80s
when
Song of Seven came out.
Okay,
and when ARW.
Oh my gosh! Wow. Okay.
But you could, it's kind of funny because they weren't involved in this one.
Right.
Okay. And you could tell it's back to this. Kind
right.
Of
back to the, it's just
glothy, you know, big picture, not as
fun,
deep and fun.
All right. Well, you got enough stuff here that we will be doing a tour book through the ages episode.
Yes.
So I'm going to.
So they have two other books. Two other books.
Around though, because if you don't want to see the episode, let us know.
True. No.
Maybe more people will comment that way. We'll have 100 comments. Yes, please don't.
Please don't.
He just kind of showed them.
Isn't that enough?
Actually, it's not. I'm fascinated by that. But anyways, back to the Gottlieb Brothers trilogy.
So it's on Amazon. I feel like I'm doing a commercial. But
with a foreword by Steve Howe.
Yes, on this one. Yeah.
On this one. Okay.
So
Steve was like, I'll write you for one thing. I'm not doing for three.
I don't know. My only negative is the cover's a little flimsy.
Okay.
And I was hoping it was going to be this size.
I'm only grabbing it to look on the back. So you can tell when it has something like this. This was printed the day you ordered it. These are print on demand books.
Got it.
So until you buy it, it's not printed.
Got it.
So it's printed
but
and bound.
I got it in 2 days.
Of course, because they get the order. Dude, it takes like a minute to make the book. They don't, because it has the date. It has the date in the back. That's why it's the quality it is.
Yeah.
So, which
anyway,
is fine.
A it's lot of smaller than I expected, but that's not, that's, I didn't look to see it at the description. So I didn't, I just was like,
oh, and regardless, it's very cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's
very cool.
Almost 300 pages.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling Jay beforehand, it kind of happened on this. No, actually, you told me about it. I was like, wow, I never even heard of that. And I looked through and I'm like, oh, the tour books is the one to get, you know? Although I don't know, maybe the, you know, because if you're doing, you have to have everything, right? I mean, I would have expected that you,
that I would have just gotten all of them at once.
Well, it also begs the question, why are they not selling them also as a package?
I don't know.
Anyway,
there you go. It's a cool piece of Yes history, right? All in one spot.
Excellent. So that's all I have. What
we had talked very briefly. There's a couple
coming.
Porcupine Tree offshoots.
Right.
With
Voyage 35 was one I read about.
Which is Colin Edwin and John Wesley, who were Colin was the original Porcupine Tree bassist.
Yep.
And John Wesley was rhythm guitar or second guitar on tour with Porcupine Tree up until they stopped touring back
in the day
after the incident. album.
Okay. I was just about to go, yeah.
Well, and John also plays, I believe, on a couple of the albums as well, but they were not part of the reunion.
Okay.
So they have their
own. And he comes from the, I mean, I remember we first started hearing about him in the Marillion days, right?
Yes. I mean, we, my wife and I would go see Marillion in Toad's Place, and he was, I think, Steve Rothery's guitar tech, and he became the opening act.
Yeah.
So we would just get out there with his guitar and sing, and, you know, we bought his albums.
Yeah, yeah. It was on Racket. It wasn't his first album.
Yeah.
I remember all that.
He, so we had, we kind of followed him via Marillion, and then he joined Porcupine Tree, which I thought was great. I'm like, oh, there's John Wesley.
Right.
But he's like a guy, he's American from Florida. He's not like this British, he's not part of that whole thing. So I don't know how he got hooked up with the Proggers, but he did. And then he, Colin also has another band with Chris Maitland, who is the original drummer of Porcupine Tree. So I don't know if either of them have music out yet. I just know that they exist.
All right. Cool.
So, there you go.
There you go. All right. That's a fair bit of news, I think.
Is.
At least, you know, we only talk about our little corner. We can't cover everything. So there you go. Prague will find a way.
If you wanted to.